First John chapter number 2 this morning. Hey, Sam. Brother Sam shook my hand twice this morning. Uh-oh. He didn't want to leave Papa. Hey, man's got to learn how to use it someday. Hey, it's better than a Barbie doll. Praise the Lord. I'd rather that man have a knife than a Barbie any day. If he cuts somebody, they'll sew him up. Lord, help us. We're not live. We're good. 1 John chapter number 2. More little boys ought to learn to play with knives. It's a good thing. And stitches. And sticks. Yeah, stitches too. That's right. 1 John chapter number 2 this morning. 1 John chapter number 2. Starting verse number 15. We've been going through the book of 1 John. And find Matthew chapter number 6 this morning also. Hold your place there. We'll be flipping over there in just a little bit. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the what, church? The world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have," what, church? "Continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." If you look at verse number 19 momentarily, I just want to point something out. The Bible says, "They went out from us." Did you know there are going to be people that you think are Christians that will stand by you in church, that will proclaim to know Jesus, that really do not know Jesus? And in the last time, when things really start getting hard, they're going to leave. But church, listen, it's important that we understand the Bible teaches us that. And also often we find that when one person steps out, you tend to see two or three others follow that one individual. Well, my question to you this morning is, who do you love? Do you love the world and the things that are therein? And are you following the people, or are you simply following your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this morning? There should never be a time when someone walks out of church, or when someone quits on the Lord, or when someone gets down, that you follow suit with that. That's not a biblical thing. Who are you trusting in? Are you trusting in your preacher? Are you trusting in your mom, your dad, your Sunday school teacher? Listen, they should be trusting in the Lord. But the truth is, the Bible teaches us there are going to be a great falling away. And it's important that we stand in these last days. So back to verse number 16. The Bible says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh." The lust of the flesh is a very real thing. I think if we were to all go around the room, we'd say that we have all had fleshly lust. Maybe we're all adults in here, sensually. Maybe some not sensually. But if we'd be honest with each other right now, and we could just see over the last week what our fleshly desires were, if we were to go around the room, put our name at the top of the list, and then maybe the wall couldn't even hold what your flesh desired this week. But we all have fleshly desires. I'll start by saying, I have fleshly desires. Does anyone in here not have fleshly desires? Well, the Bible says the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is a very real thing. We've got to understand it is a battle. What is it? It's wanting to gratify our body's desires at the cost of morality and what's good for our soul. In other words, the lust of the flesh, those things that so easily beset us, they become so important to us we forget about all godly things. And you think about it, when you fulfill the lust of the flesh, you are basically saying, "God, what you have given me, your eternal life, your son Jesus, your salvation, all the gifts, all the treasures I've laid up in heaven, everything that you've bestowed upon me is nothing. I care more about my fleshly desires. And have you ever realized that your fleshly desires, they only last just for a moment? Most of the time we get what we want and then we feel like garbage. Want me to tell you why we feel like garbage? Because we're Christians. And we have a Holy Ghost inside of us that hates sin. He's contrary to sin. His son, or Jesus Christ, died for that sin. But we still tend to want to feel our flesh. It's an overpowering desire for that which God has forbidden. Have you ever found yourself, let's just all be honest, everybody knows the sin that easily besets you. It might not be the same one that besets me, but if we were to be honest, each and every one of us have at least one thing that you've probably struggled with your entire life, and you're going to struggle with tomorrow, and you're going to struggle with next week. But look, how important is that sin to you? Is it more important than what God has for you? To love the things of this world more than we love our God is simply not okay. And church, it is sin. The Bible teaches, he that knoweth to do what? Good. And doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. So we must look at it as a sin to fulfill the lust of the flesh. We should never give first place to our affections or interest. And who am I to tell you you shouldn't put yourself in first place? Who is someone to tell me that what I'm interested in is not more important than the Lord? I remember growing up, you know, there were things that I loved. I loved hunting. I loved fishing. I liked knives. I liked sticks. I'm still on the knife thing. That was funny. I liked a lot of things. And there were times whenever I had this uncle and a cousin that would come up in hunting season. They'd come up just about every weekend. And they'd stay from Friday afternoon through Sunday afternoon. And every Sunday, I remember, I said, okay, Grandma, I don't get to see these guys but once on the weekend and only during hunting season. Do you think maybe I could just skip church one Sunday just to stay back and go hunting with these guys and just hang out, because I just wanted to see my cousin and I enjoyed hanging out with my uncle? And every time my grandma said, no, you're not missing church to hang out with anybody. If they want to see you, and then they made me feel bad. I'm like, well, I guess they don't care about me because they sure ain't coming to church with me. That's what she said. If they really care about seeing you, they'll pack up and they'll go to church with us. And I'm like, well, they don't care about us. But I remember one Sunday, my uncle was going to cut some firewood, and he went to my grandma one time and said, hey, I want to take Drew and Jay with me tomorrow to go cut some firewood. And you know, at first she kind of ignored the question. She didn't like it because, you know, her rule was we're not missing church on Sundays for anything. I mean, if someone dies, they'll be dead after church. Okay, that was her rules. Just saying. More of us should probably think like that. But here's the deal. She didn't like it, but then she came to me that night and she said, hey, your Uncle Ray said he's going to cut some firewood tomorrow. She said, he wants you to go with him. What do you want to do? I said, you're asking me what I want to do. You ever heard of a trick question? And so I said, well, of course I want to go hang out with him. And she said, well, I'm going to let you make that decision this time. And here's the deal. I'm pretty sure my grandmother was praying that God would get my attention if I made the wrong decision. And did he ever get my attention? We went out. We started cutting firewood. Well, the saw got jammed up in a log. And I started, you know, using my foot. I was pushing down on the log trying to get some pressure off. Well, I tripped. And I went like this. And when I fell, I can still show you the scar today. That saw fired off, kicked in, and I fell right on that blade. And that thing went through my finger, through my bone, and it was hanging on from skin to skin right here. Just, it was disgusting. It was gross. And my uncle looked. He said, you okay? I said, nope, not okay. He taped that thing up, and he didn't take me to the ER, which is super weird. It was almost like I was in so much shock that I was like, it doesn't even hurt. It happened so fast, so quick. Well, my grandma got home from church, and I'm sitting in the recliner, and I got my hand up, and, you know, there's a bloody bandage on my hand. She unwrapped it, and she said, bet you wish you would have went to church, don't you? Hey, it's a funny story, but The truth is, I was seeking the lust of my flesh more than I was seeking what God had commanded for me. Because look, it's a simple fact. Had I chose to go to Sunday school and go to church, I wouldn't have got my finger chopped off by a chainsaw. I would have been in church. And there ain't no chainsaws in there. I don't think. There shouldn't be. But if there is, find a different church. But look, I believe with all my heart that my grandma asked the Lord to teach me a lesson that day. Now, that was a pretty hard lesson to learn. She never said, hey, I prayed that God would let you, you know, get your finger chopped off, or I prayed that God would get your attention. But I believe it happened. I believe she so desired for her children and her grandchildren to know the Lord that she was willing to do anything to get to heaven to ask God to get our attention. But man, the Lord woke me up that day and let me realize that the lust of my flesh is just simply not all that important. We should never give first place to our interest or anything that belongs only to the world system that we can see or to the age in which we live. Our version of loving the world is not a biblical version of love. You know, in verse 15, the Bible says, love not the world. Well, I thought we were supposed to love everybody. Well, let me ask you this. Why do you love the world? The truth is, we love the world because there's things that we can benefit from them. Well, see, the Bible teaches in John 3:16, here's God's version of love. For God so loved the world that He, what church? Gave. Do you love the world so that you can give them anything? Or do you love the world so that you can get something out of the world? Some fleshly desire, some sinful desire of your own, and you want to get in with the world, you want to fit in, and you just want to talk like them, walk like them, act like them, partake of the things they partake in, receive the things that they receive. That's why we love the world, but God so loved the world that He gave. The Bible teaches that greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his what? Life for his friends. When's the last time you laid your life down for the world? When's the last time you loved the world so much that no matter what, you were going to tell every single soul you could about Jesus? That's true love. True love is not, I love the world because I can get this. No, 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 no. For God so loved the world that He what? He gave. We love the world so that we can see what in our fleshly desires we can gain. It's all about what can I get out of this? For God so loved the world that He gave. God gave so that we could gain. Did you ever realize that? I'm a parent, and I can't think of any of my six kids off the top of my head, Brother Whalen, that I'd be willing to give up for any of you. And you say, preacher, no, would you give them for me? Why? Because we simply don't love like God. The truth is, God gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, and not just gave Him up. But think about what Jesus went through. What God had to physically put His only begotten Son through. Imagine, you know, we know it was rough on Jesus. But imagine how tough that was on God to let the world do His Son like that. How many daddies would watch their sons get abused like that? That'd be rough, wouldn't it? We'd be ready to kill them. Well, did you know that's why God, in His justness, is no respecter of persons? And you hear the world say, well, if God is love and God loves everybody, God would never let me die and go to hell. You're right. He won't let you. You choose to. He gave you a way out. He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, so that you could choose salvation, so that you could choose forgiveness. And you say, well, how could God ever let someone do that? How could God give up His only begotten Son, turn His back on Him in the last time because of the sin? God hates sin so much He could not look upon it. How could God send His only begotten Son to become flesh and dwell among us and take all of the sins of the world and put on Himself and watch His Son die a sacrificial death that He did not deserve to have to die for? You say, how on earth could God do that? Well, listen, that's why God is a just God. If I were able to give my Son as a sacrifice for anything, and you chose to reject a free gift that my Son paid for, I'd be a just man too. He gave every one of us the opportunity. That's real love. So instead of seeking and falling into fleshly lust, we should be seeking the things of God over in Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6 this morning. Matthew 6, starting verse number 19. The Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon what? I wonder how many of us do that. I got this. You know, you remember the story in the Bible where the rich man had all these flocks and his flocks were overfilled and he didn't have enough room to store them? And the guy came, servants came to him and said, hey, we don't have any more room. What are we going to do? I mean, your barns are filled. They're overflowing. What are we going to do? Oh, I know what we're going to do. We're going to build more barns. And we're going to store it up for ourselves. And what did God do? He burned them suckers down, didn't he? And then the rich man died. Remember the story? Hey, church, God doesn't want you to lay up for yourselves treasures here on earth. Because you could be laying up yourselves treasures today and die tomorrow. And you're not going to take them with you. And if you think your family's going to bury your money with you, you're insane. Spend your money. Enjoy your life, okay? I understand. Set your family up good. But look, quit trying to build a mansion on this side. What does the Bible teach us? Look at verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth what? Corrupt. And where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I've been a baseball and a football coach for a long, long time. Anybody ever coached in here? Look, if you've coached, you understand what good kids are like and you understand what rotten kids are like. I love it. I'll never forget Brother Scott telling me about, you know, we yell at referees at football games. We shouldn't do that. But Brother Scott said he realized one time you're not supposed to yell at the judges at the beauty pageant when they don't choose your daughter. Now, that's good stuff. I would really get in trouble. I bet it was real quiet when you got upset about that too, wasn't it? It wasn't like the football game where it kind of gets drowned out, hopefully. But that's just funny. But back to the coaching thing. I've been coaching for a long, long time, and I love coaching baseball. I love coaching football. But, you know, I was talking to a man yesterday in our community. He coaches football, and he said, man, some of these kids are just rough. I said, yeah. I said, but here's what I've learned over coaching over the years. I said, it's fun to watch them, you know, when you coach it, you coach it, you coach it, and you finally see them get in front of the ball the proper way. They feel that thing the right way. They come up, they make a good throw, and you feel good as a coach when that happens. It's like, thank the Lord, he finally got it. Or when you're trying to teach a guy how to bat and, you know, they're scared of the ball and they go, how many know that's not right? You're like, hey, bud, stay in the box. I always put bats behind them and then sometimes I make them stand in a tire and then throw balls at them. And then, you know, let them get hit a few times. It's good for them, okay? Don't be upset with me. It's good for them. It'll teach them how to, you know, understand it. It's going to hurt a little bit, but it ain't going to kill you. But when you finally see them get it, it feels pretty good as a coach. But really and truly, what I learned through coaching all these years is that coaching is just a ministry. You know, when you're a youth pastor, it was an open door for me to dig into these young men's lives, especially in high school. I'll never forget, over the, I think, 12 years of coaching high school football, I think we saw 20-something young men saved over those 12 years from public school system of families that did not go to church. But here's what it was. In Alaska, bus rides are not like from here to Pleasant Home, okay? We're talking 8 to 12 hours average bus ride to get to the next school that we're going to go play in football, and it's a 3-day trip. One day up, play the next day, spend the night, come back the next day. So you're spending a lot of time with these young men. And because of that, see, in the schoolhouse, you have certain rules you can't talk about, you know, the Lord. If they engage you, you're allowed to talk about it. But everyone knew we were preachers. Everyone knew we went to church. And we constantly invited them. But, man, when you get them away from that school and they come to you and say, Brother Drew, or Coach, he said, man, I need to talk to you about some things that are going on at home. And I say, okay, bud, what's going on? And, you start listening, and pretty quick you understand why that kid is the way they are. You know, a young man that grows up without a dad is a mess. Or a young lady that grows up without a dad is a mess. Ladies, I don't deal with ladies firsthand, but I'm telling you, I see the result of it. A young man that grows up hurt, and then you dig into their life and you start teaching them about Jesus who came and bled and died for the sins of their parents and the sins of their own, and pretty soon they start coming to your church, and then a youth rally happens, and all of a sudden they step out by faith and they ask the Lord to save them. And hey, that's so much better than any ground ball. That's so much better than any home run a kid will ever hit. That's so much better than any touchdown that'll ever get scored. That's what it's all about. That's laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Because I like the fact that, I have a big imagination, as many of you know already. The Bible teaches that the angels rejoice in heaven over one sinner that repents. Could you imagine? As a young man or a young lady or an old man or an old lady raises their hand that they're not saved, and whether they come down here or whether they go somewhere else to meet with somebody to open up the Bible. Like in the game when you're sitting back and the game's all boring and it's like, oh, something interesting about to happen. All of a sudden it's first and goal, right? Up to the edge of your, am I the only one that does this? No. How many watched a game last night? Stayed pretty comfortable, didn't you? Pretty boring. But hey, you remember when we were playing Georgia a few years ago in that national championship and Tua threw that deep ball? Man, he dropped back and I'm like, oh, and he caught the ball and I jumped for joy. Look, imagine heaven when a sinner is just about ready to repent. Imagine the angels on the edge of their seat when they finally break down and they say, you know what? I'm lost. I'm wicked. I'm undone. I'm unclean. I need Jesus. Folks, that's what this is all about. I can't help but think about all of heaven bursting. I mean, I've been in a lot of stadiums, and I mean, 100,000 people is loud. I mean, I've been in speedways. I've been in big crowds. Nothing better than a hockey crowd, though. Nothing better than that atmosphere. Anybody ever been to a professional hockey game in here? Oh, my goodness. It's the best atmosphere you'll ever go to. But here's the deal. If that atmosphere is that awesome, and that adrenaline is just, I can't explain the adrenaline rush of a hockey game. Especially when they drop the gloves. Like, every sport should have hockey rules. Drop the gloves, beat each other up, penalize for 5 minutes, no big deal. Right back on the ice and they're best buddies after the game. No big deal. Every sport should be like that. Every one of them, even tennis. But look, I can't imagine the adrenaline rush in heaven when a sinner repents and comes to the Lord. Could you imagine all of heaven cheering that on? I mean, we're talking millions of people. All in sequence. All at the same time, paying attention. Hey, there's another one. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. No one can take that away from you. You know, we lay up ourselves treasures on earth. And here, you know, it's so sad. Just this week, I was talking to some of my family. And we're not on live stream, I can say this. And this isn't a funny story. This is a very honest, real story. We're talking about a couple of family members who are starting to put their wills together. And a couple of them are pretty wealthy. And the arguing and the bickering that's happening over that is just insane. They care more. It's like, Lord, help this family member die so I can get their money. Make sure you leave that to me. I'll take good care of it. I'm sure you will. When's the last time you wrote a tithe check to the church? When's the last time you gave to missions? When's the last time you helped someone in need? I mean, I know you got to get your hair done every 2 weeks. And you got to get a new car every year. And you got to have this and this and this. But look, that's why it's important not to worry about treasures here on earth. It's just simply not worth it. I don't care if I'm ever rich in finances. I really don't. Because you know what the Bible says? But my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. If I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, now it might get tough sometimes, but at the end of the day, do I have a roof over my head? Do I have food to eat? Might not be steak and potatoes every day. But where did God say you need that? Nowhere. It's good. But hey, I have all my bills are paid. I have my wife. I have my children. I have everything I need. Folks, that's what it's all about. It's not about getting rich. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You say, what does that mean? Well, I had a preacher ask me this one time. You know, like I said, I have a lot of hobbies that I really like to spend money on. You take me to Sports Academy and give me $1,000 and give me 10 minutes. I'll have that $1,000 spent quick. Promise. Because I'm going to go, and here, I'm the kind of guy, though, but I don't like to necessarily spend money on myself as much as I do. Like, I got boys and girls that play sports. I love for my children to have nice stuff. I just do, and I like it whenever we walk into a place like that, and one of my boys say, Dad, can I get this? And I look at the price tag, I'm like, whatever. Just put it in the cart, okay? And you go home, and you're like, how did we just spend $500 in there? And all we got is this. Well, you wanted your kid to have nice stuff, and you know, you saw it, and you thought, well, where's your treasure? Well, where's my treasure? And then you say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, let me ask you this. If you're spending more on the things of this world that are carnal and are going to pass away, meanwhile, we have missionaries on a foreign field who would love to have some extra support. And I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm just saying, if you're able to spend it on things that really don't matter, are you able to spend it on things that matter? Like a missionary? I got convicted years ago about that. A preacher came through and preached that, and the Lord started working on my heart and saying, you know, Drew, you waste a lot of money on things that you really don't need. See, God said, but my God shall supply all your greed. Is that what he said? He said, all your what? Need, according to his riches. And I began to think, well, I could buy the $300 rod and reel because I love fishing and I like nice stuff. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having nice stuff. But don't get me wrong. If you're not seeking first the kingdom of God, there's a problem. Or, you know, do I really need a $300 rod and reel to go catch bass, or can I go to Walmart and get the $40 rod and reel and probably catch just as many fish as I can with that $300 one? I've done it. The old Zebco never fails, right? Ain't nothing wrong with that. But look, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Think about that. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So let me ask you, are you committed to fleshly things, or are you committed to spiritual things? Verses 25 through 31, I'm not going to read them for sake of time. We only got a couple of minutes. But we should not be caught up in worry about how we're going to make it in these areas of life. We ought to instead be living by faith, knowing that God said he would take care of us if we seek first the kingdom of God. Look at verse 32. I do want to read verse 32 and 33. The Bible says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Isn't it good to know that God knows us well enough to know that what we need in 2 weeks... By the way, if you're seeking first the kingdom of God, you're about to find out. If you're doing what God tells you to do, he's already met the need that you don't even know you have. Isn't it good to know that we have a God like that? An omnipresent, omnipotent, all-knowing God. Look what 33 says. But seek ye what? Now, this is something I had to learn. I had a preacher come by. But look, I've learned a lot by listening to God's men in my life that he's allowed to come across my path. He came through one time and he preached on, but seek ye first. Now, when I first started understanding how to give, tithes and offerings and all this stuff, I would be the kind of tither that would be like, okay, when I get paid, I got to pay this bill, this bill, this bill, and this bill. And if I have enough left, I'll pay my tithe. But what does the Bible say? But seek ye first the kingdom of God. So, then I began to ask this question, but if I give that, then I'm not going to be able to pay this. That's not true. Church, God gives you 10% more than what you need to live on. Because tithing is not optional. It is a command. It's not even an obedient thing for you. Don't feel good about yourself for doing something that God, He didn't request it. He commanded it. So when you're tithing, you're just simply saying, okay, God, this is yours. I don't need this. This belongs to someone else. Give it and watch what happens. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be what, church? So, if you're by faith giving, and I'm not just talking about your money, I'm talking about your time, your efforts, your prayer life. If you're by faith seeking first God and what He wants, and He doesn't come through, then guess what? Why are we here? He will always come through. I dare you to try Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You this morning for Your word and for Your truth, Lord. Thank You for the ones coming in. Thank You for meeting with us this morning. Meet with us in this next hour, Lord. Just bless us. Let everything we do honor and glorify You. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You are dismissed.